ورحمة الله وبركاته. وأسعد الله أيامكم. عيد مبارك to all of you on this beautiful occasion of عيد الغدير. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام والأئمة من بعده. And we hope that we live up to this privilege that God has bestowed on us, the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. We live up to that privilege, to that responsibility, and we can fulfill our duty by being good followers and good students of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. And inshallah, we're going to celebrate this beautiful occasion on Saturday night, inshallah. 7:30, we begin the prayers, Salatul Maghrib at 7:30 sharp, and then we begin the celebration, inshallah. So tonight we go through Surah Hud, and these are verses 84 and 85, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى ابن عمه وأخيه ووزيره علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره ولا تنقصوا المكيال والميزان إني أراكم بخير وإني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم محيط ويا قوم أوفوا المكيال والميزان بالقسط ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. So not far from the Sodomite, there was another tribe, another town, and another people by the name of the Midianite. And God sent to them Prophet Jethro. What is his name? Jethro. In the Hebrew book, Yethron. In English, Jethro. And in the Quran is Shu'aib. So after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sodomite, the people of Lut, Allah sent this prophet, Prophet Shu'aib, as a messenger, as a warner to this community. And this community, the name of this community is Midian, Midianites. In the Torah, Midian. And in today's name, contemporary name, it's Ma'an, the city of Ma'an in southern Jordan. And those people were Arabs, mostly Arab tribes, who lived north of Tabuk. Tabuk is north, the northernmost city of the Arabian Peninsula, and Ma'an is above Tabuk, which is today in Jordanian territory. So they were from Arab tribes. And the Prophet also, Shu'aib, was Arab. Interestingly that he's Arab and his son-in-law is a Jew. Musa alayhi salam became his son-in-law. So Musa's wife was Arab. He married the daughter of Shu'aib. And historians believe that prophets who were Arabs were five. Do you know them? Who was the first Arab prophet? The very first one. Huh? Not Ibrahim. Ibrahim was born in Iraq, in the city of Nasiriyah, today's Iraq. Close to Nasiriyah, there is a village of Ur. Ibrahim was born there. But Ibrahim is not considered Arab. His language was not. At that time, Iraq was not an Arab country. So Ismail was the first prophet who learned Arabic. His son, who learned Arabic from the tribe that lived near Mecca. And then after Ismail, we have a prophet in the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula, Salih alayhi salam. In the southern part, Hud, where this chapter is named after him. And then we have Shu'aib, and we have a prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Arabs doesn't mean anything. To be Arab, to be non-Arab, to be, you know, other nationality, doesn't mean anything. What really means, what is really important, is your character, is your message, is your dedication to God's cause, how dedicated you are. But being, you know, Arab or non-Arab, speaking this language or that language is not a big deal. God has a universal language, and we can contact God and get in touch with Him through our hearts, through our hearts. So Shu'aib was sent to this community to teach them, to educate them. This community, most of them were farmers. So they dealt with farming and also business, trade. But they had a problem. Though they lived in a very lush, green place, their city was very green. And one of the names of that community is Ashabul Aika. It's named in the Quran by the name of Ashabul Aika. Ashabul Aika means the companions or the people of forest and greenery. They had plenty of trees. Their land was very lush. But unfortunately, they were mean. And they had a very bad habit. And that habit was defrauding. They incorporated fraud in their dealings, cheating in their businesses. They were not honest. They were not honest. They were defrauders. And this is why Shu'aib comes and tells them, listen, you are doing well. Economically, you are doing well. Inni araakum bi khair. You don't need to cheat. Why do you cheat? To make more money? You are already making more money. So why do you choose to go through the illegal way, dishonest way? Don't do that, because that is going to have consequences on your life. That is going to have consequences. Your economy is good. Your condition is good. You are making good money. Why do you have to lie? Why do you have to be dishonest in your business? Don't do that. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Remember, Allah says all those prophets are brothers, أَخَاهُمْ. Hud is their brother. Salih is their brother. Shu'aib is their brother. Lut is their brother. What does it mean? Maybe he's not biologically brother. He's not a sibling. But it means that he loves his community as a brother loves his own brother. He cares about them. Akhahum here, a brother, might not be biological, but it is moral and spiritual. He cares about them. He's one of them. He wants them to be good. He wants them to be successful. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. O my community, worship God. There is no God other than Him. وَلَا تَنْقُصُوا الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ. And do not diminish. Mikyal means the measure, and mizan means the balance. Do not diminish the measure and the balance. Shu'aib alayhi salam is the descendant of Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salatu wassalam. And as I said,
Madian is not far from Sodom and Gomorrah. Actually, they are all now currently, they are all these places are in Jordan. Sodom and Gomorrah and these five villages or seven villages are in Jordan, today's Jordan, and exactly their location is Al-Bahr al-Mayt, the Dead Sea. Historians believe that the area of the Dead Sea used to host previously these five or seven villages of the Sodomites, the people of Lut. So not far from them is Ma'an. Madian is not far from them. So they lived close to each other. Because he tells them, Shu'aib tells his community, وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوطٍ مِنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. See what happened to Lut and his community? They are not too far from you. Look at their lands. Look at their territories. Look at what happened to them. Take a lesson from that. وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوطٍ مِنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. And both these communities, the Sodomites and the Madianites, were on the main highway. How do we know that? We know that from the Quran. وَإِنَّهُمَا, and both of them, لَبِإِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ, on a very well-known main highway. Mubin means well-known. Imam here does not mean the Imam, the successor to the Prophet. It's called here highway. And the highway is called Imam. Why? Why God speaks about the highway as being Imam? What does the Imam do to you? He guides you, he leads you. And the same thing with the highway. The highway gets you to your destination. The Imam gets you to your spiritual destination, moral destination. The highway gets you to your physical destination. So Allah says both those communities were on the main highway. And we made them so, so when people pass by them, they get a lesson. So they are not somewhere remote. People cannot reach to them. They are on the main highway, and we want people to know what happened to them. These qawafil, caravans, when they pass by these villages to see what happened to them. So he says to them, وَلَا تَنْقُصُوا الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ. I see that you are faring well. You don't need money. When your business is running, why do you lie? Why do you cheat? Why do you diminish the scale? Why do you steal from the scale? Why do you give bad products? You don't have to do this. Go through the right way. إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ وَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ مُحِيطٍ. But if you continue to do so, I fear for you a punishment that is all-encompassing. عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ مُحِيطٍ. It will encompass you from all directions. Meaning that this punishment, if it comes, it will destroy everything. Nothing can survive. Nothing would survive. عذاب يوم محيط. It's interesting. Sometimes I travel in some Arab and Muslim countries and I go to the market and see the way some merchants, some shopkeepers, some people, some business people deal with customers. And I see the difference between our life in America and the life of those people in these countries. I see the difference is very visible. And sometimes I wonder, when I read the Quran, wow, this frauding, defrauding, this happened thousands of years ago. This is not new. This is not something today, happened today. This has a history. It is embedded sometimes, embedded in the DNA of some people. It's embedded in their DNA. They can't get rid of it. And this is the Quran. Quran has a whole chapter 83, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, woe to those defrauders. And that is 1500 years ago. So this is not something new. It happened. And we have been told that not only the people of Madian, even the people of Medina, when the Prophet was among them, some people in the market, they will defraud others. They will cheat in their business. They lie. They were dishonest. This is why God sent a whole chapter to remind them. Prophets, they are unified in one invitation and distinct from each other, distinguished from each other in another type of invitation. What unifies them is the call to worship God. God says in the Quran, in chapter 16, Surah An-Nahl, He says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ To every community, فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ To every community, we sent a messenger, Rasul, who said to them, worship God and shun false deities. Do not worship false deities. Worship God, the real creator, the real cherisher, and shun other deities. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ So this is the common invitation, the common denominator between all messengers who went to every village, to every town. But then there is some distinction between them. They are distinct from each other. In that every messenger went to his community to address their social ills, their specific social ills. At the time of Musa, there was injustice and tyranny by Pharaoh. So Musa came to ask them to worship God and to uphold justice. At the time of Isa alayhi salam, after Moses, people were obsessed with materialism, dunya, immersed in materialism. They think about nothing but materialism, material gains, no spiritual gains, no moral gains, material gains. Isa came to invite them to worship God and also to stay away a little bit from material, to have self-control, eat, drink, enjoy, but without excessiveness. This is why Isa didn't get married. Not because he hated women. He was not a misogynist. He respected women. But he wanted to show them an extreme example that I can survive without a wife, without a son, without a house, with little food, little drink, little clothing. I can survive. To show them an example. So with Shu'aib came to invite them to worship God and also to address this specific ill, specific suffering that they had, which is fraud, widespread fraud in their business. They were not honest. They were merchant, businessmen, but the fraud was widespread. So he came to teach them this. This is why he says, ولا تنقصوا المكيال والميزان إني أراكم بخير وإني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم محيط The Prophet one day took to the pulpit the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم and he said to his community he said there are five for five they said what do you mean يا رسول الله Five for five? What does that mean? He said, there are five actions that are going to breed five consequences. And then he started to explain. Let me read the translation of that hadith. He said, this is number one. No people broke their covenant, but that God set their enemies over them. When they break their covenant with God, God would allow the enemies to attack them. God would not defend them anymore. God will withdraw his defense and his protection from them because they betrayed the covenant. They betrayed the promise. They dishonored their promise with God. This is number one. Number two, none judged by others. None judged by other than what God sent down, but that poverty spread among them. When the community, they don't respect God's laws, they disrespect God's laws. They don't judge with what God has sent to them. God is going to unleash poverty against them. Poverty is going to be widespread in their communities. So that is the second one. The third, none fornicate, people who are used to fornication, but that death spread among them. Death is going to spread among them, especially sudden death. Sometimes death gives notice. 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. Sometimes comes without notice. God is going to unleash death against that community. Number four. None defrauded, when people defraud, but that their crops failed and they were plagued by famine. So this is the result. When markets, they deal with the fraud. When you go to the market and you rarely find someone who's honest in his dealing. Someone, when he gives a product, the product becomes a truth. So you don't have to go and return it back. When you go home with peace of mind. When they deliver it to you, you find exactly what you were asking for, not something else, not less, not bad quality. One of the good things we learn in America, and this inspires me, we have Costco here, but we don't have it in Islamic countries, because Costco is going to go broke within 3 days. If they have it in any Muslim country, it's going to go broke. Because of the policy of returning. If you are not satisfied with the product, return it. And sometimes I see people returning damaged things. They use them for several days and they never ask them about it. If that happens in Muslim countries, if they open in Muslim, they go broke in 3 days, believe me. So this inspires us to be honest. To be honest. Be good. The guy is good with you, so you return goodness with another goodness. Be honest when you buy. Be honest when you sell. Be honest when you trade anything. Be honest when you sell the house. In some countries, if you buy a house, you might come and you don't find the chandelier. Sometimes you don't find the roof too. It's gone. They take the light bulbs, you know, take them out. Sometimes they take the windows. Believe me, this is not a joke. It happens. This is why barakah is missing. It's missing. Barakah is missing. People become frustrated. There is no happiness. There is money, but there is no happiness. Allah takes out the barakah. And this is what he says. The Prophet ﷺ says. So when people defraud in their businesses, their crops fail and they are plagued by what? By famine. And number five, the Prophet says, no community refused to pay alms, meaning zakat, but that God withheld rain from them. Drought. People ask, why do we have a drought? Why do we have a drought? Sometimes it is climate change, yes, but sometimes it is a human change, not just a climate change. When we change, God is going to change. God is going to change his rules. Because God sends wake-up messages to us. He wants us to wake up. وَيَا قَوْمِ أَوْفُوا الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تَبْخَسُوا النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْثُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ And my people, observe fully The measure and the balance when you sell with justice, bilqist. When you sell, do justice to the customers. Bilqist. وَلَا تَعْثَوْ. Do not diminish people's good and people's contribution. What does that mean? وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءً. This is one of the most beautiful verses in the Quran. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءً. What does that mean? It has many meanings. Do not diminish people's right. Do not diminish people what they deserve. Give them what they deserve. It has many meanings. One of the meanings, if someone works in your house, in your office, once that person finishes his job, you have to give him his money. Don't tell him, come tomorrow. Don't. Give him the money. He deserves the money once he finishes the job. Do not delay. If he is your employee, don't tell him, we don't have money today. In some countries, they tell him, come next week, next month, we don't have money. If you don't have money, release him. Let him go home. Tell him, I don't have job because I don't have money. When someone works for you, give him the money the same day. Do not delay. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءً. Even us, we have to learn this. When you receive a bill, pay the bill. Do not delay it. Don't delay the bill. You receive the bill today. Today it's electronic. It takes you 30 seconds. In the past, we had to write checks and put a stamp, and you don't find a stamp. Nowadays, believe me, 30 seconds. You pay 5 bills in 1 minute. 1 minute with your iPhone. So don't delay it. Don't delay paying your mortgage. Don't delay. Because you made ahd, covenant with the bank. Give me the money, I'll pay this amount per month. Don't delay it. Don't delay it. Don't leave it to the last minute. Some people have bad habit of leaving the bills, paying the bills the last minute. Don't do that. Pay it before due time, before due date. Pay it. When you take a loan from anyone and you get the money, you make the money, go and give it back. Even if the due date is 1 year from now, 5 years. Since you get the money, go. Don't delay. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. How many people lost their homes because they were delinquent on their payments? Many people. Teach your children. This is people's right. You have to protect and uphold and observe people's right. This is another example. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Don't be behind on your bills. Pay your bills on time. The second meaning of وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. People deserve, some people deserve respect. Accord them, give them what they deserve, the respect that they deserve. Not less than that. Whatever respect they deserve, grant it to them, give it to them. When they do a good job, appreciate that. Sometimes we only complain when we see bad work, but we don't thank and appreciate when we see good work. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْمَخْلُوقِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْخَالِقِ. If you don't thank your wife, your husband, your son, your neighbor, your brother, your friend, you are not appreciating God. You are not doing justice to God. Thank people, appreciate them, acknowledge them. Acknowledge them when they do something good. Acknowledge them in a private, in public. Acknowledge. Do not forget what people do. And don't attribute something that has been done by others to yourself. I read books and I write sometimes. Sometimes I find a theory, an idea, analysis. Someone puts it in his book, but then you find out that he's not the author. He took it from another one, but he would not put his name in the footnotes, pretending that he is the author of this idea. He came up with this idea. He ignores the original author. This is not good. This is theft, act of intellectual theft. Say in the footnote, say, I found this in that book. Put the reference. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَ. What else applies to this verse? In this life, we have arguments, differences, conflicts, sometimes between a husband and wife, sometimes between two brothers, two neighbors, two partners. And sometimes when we have a conflict with someone, we, because of our narrow-mindedness, our human nature, we try to destroy that, the adversaries. We always remember their evil work, bad work, but we never remember that they did something good too in their life. I always tell the husbands and the wife when they fight, I tell them, but it's not all bad between you. You had some moments of romantic moments, beautiful moments between you. Why don't you mention that one? Why you always overlook the good times and you focus on the bad times? This is not good. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Your husband is not that terrible. He has some good sides in him. Your wife is not that evil. She has some good contribution in her. So why do you neglect that? Even if you don't like someone, when you speak about him or her, speak with justice. Say, I don't like such and such and such, but he or she has other sides, other contributions, other good things to offer. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ. Do not diminish the value of people in the society. Don't. Give them what they deserve. Do not be emotional. Today an idea came to my mind. I tweeted that idea immediately. I said in that tweet, do not let your mood controls your future for you and determine your future for you for the next 30, 40, 50 years. Let your good character and good manner determine your future for you. Sometimes a small fight between two friends would result in boycotting each other for 50 years. They don't speak to each other. But then they're going to regret. Believe me, you're going to regret that. So don't let your bad mood controls you. Always. Don't. Say, this is bad mood. I'm not going to say something while I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to destroy my life and people's life and my relationship. I want to build people. Build good relationship. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. Don't behave wickedly, corrupting in the land. Stay away from everything that leads into corruption in our relationship with God and our relationship with people. We have to build. Stay away from all types of corruptions. Sometimes when we fall behind on our religious duties, this is corruption. Sometimes we fall behind on our civic duties, societal duties. We don't do well with our neighbors, with our friends. We don't do well. This is corruption too. Build, try to build yourself and build others. One more thing about وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسِ. Sometimes وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسِ in goods. Don't sell bad goods. If these fruits are bad, don't sell them. If the food is bad, expired, if the medicine is expired. You know how much expired medicine is sold in Muslim markets? Amazing. But sometimes it works, believe me. It's expired, but it works. I'm mu'jiza, this is miracle. Miracle, believe me. They sell them in companies, huge corporations. They import them and they sell them, knowing that it is expired. Where is the human conscience? Where is it? Where is the humanity? May you make a profit at the expense of killing people, destroying children, families, you know? What sort of enjoyment in this? What would you do with this money? What would you do? So sometimes the fraud is in goods, And sometimes it's in services. When we are hired to work from 5 to 9, it has to be, or 9 to 5, it has to be 9, not 9:30. Not 9:30. Be in your office 8:55. We have to respect time. Respect it with God when it comes to prayers. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. God gives you a time frame to pray. Don't exceed that. Pray within the time frame. And also when you work in an office, when you are hired by someone, be on time. Respect the time. When they give you lunch break, if it is 30 minutes, it has to be 30 minutes, not 31 minutes. It's forbidden. It's illegal to exceed the time given to you to have a break or do anything else. Someone asked me the other day, he said, the time which is given to me for lunch break is 1 hour. If I want to come to Salatul Jum'ah Friday prayers, it will take more than an hour. It will be an hour and 15 minutes. What do you think I should do? Should I come to the Friday prayers because it's important? I said, no. If it consumes an hour and 15 minutes, don't come to the Friday prayers. Pray where you are. Pray where you are. Don't violate. Don't break. Salatul Jum'ah is not going to offset that for you. Sometimes you own the business, you can shut the business. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. When you work in America and Europe, you work for others. They don't understand the meaning of prayers. He says, listen, I'm paying you not to go and pray for God, neither to pray for me. I don't need your prayers. I need your work. I need your commitment. You can't tell him, I will pray for you, inshallah, in the masjid, you know. One of the ulama was saying that, you know, whenever I give a speech somewhere, so when rather than they give me money or hadiyah, or they say, طيب الله أنفاسكم, alhamdulillah, best speech, mashallah. Good. So even if you tell them I pray for you, it doesn't work. They need commitment. Be committed. Be committed. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءُمْ. Do not take away anything from the scale, from the balance, from the time. Do your good job. This is ibadah. Believe me, this is the best type of worshipping. It's to be committed. It's not to be dishonest. Is to do سنگ تمام میذارد. This is what we say. چی میگن؟ Huh? سنگ تمام گذاشتن. This is what we need to do, the Muslims. To do our jobs in the good way, inshallah. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير. Tomorrow إن شاء الله we begin صلاة الجمعة at 1 and عيد الغدير celebration at 7:30 إن شاء الله, beginning with صلاة المغرب on Saturday إن شاء الله تعالى. Eid Mubarak to all of you, inshallah. May Allah protect you. May Allah make us the true followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salatu wassalam. Mu'ajjil Allahumma fi faraj Sayyidina wa Mawlana, sahib al-asri wa al-zaman, wa ila arwah al-mu'mineen wa al-mu'minat, thawab al-fatiha ma'as-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.